I heard something about a challenge, too. What was that challenge, Kathy? Well, that sounds like a good challenge. Y'all look so excited about that. You know what? Y'all look like y'all standing in line for root canals. What you doing? All right, fellas. So y'all think we're up to that challenge? All right, we're going to match. So we accept your challenge. So whatever profit y'all make, as long as it's not over $100, we're going to match it. Now, whatever your profit is, we're going to match it. All right, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so good. All the time, God is good. You know, I read a story about there's a lot of businesses now that are doing, they're combining their self. You know, I heard about this, there was a veterinarian whose hobby was taxidermy. And he actually got so good at it, he opened up a shop inside of his veterinary shop. And his motto was, so he was a veterinarian, and he also stuffed animals. So his motto was on top, either way you get your dog back. Okay. All right, I got a little better one here. All right. One small rural town sheriff also fulfilled the role of the town's veterinarian. One night the phone rang and his wife answered. An aggravated or agitated voice inquired, "Is your husband there?" "He is, but tell me, do you need him as the sheriff or the vet?" "Both," she replied, "but we can't get our dog's mouth open and there's a burglar in it." Okay. All right. We're back into the seven churches. We're getting through pretty good. Last week we did stewardship, and while we're on the very first Sunday, remember, back to basics. And so we're just trying to hit things in the basics that are, so make it easier to think about, and to easier to handle. So get your Bible out to Revelation. And I'm going to tell you, I can tell you, if I say get your Bible out to Revelation, you have to look in the table of contents, you're not reading your Bible enough. Yeah. Okay. Second Corinthians. Revelation chapter 2, not Second Revelation. Thank God. Somebody must be sucking up all the air in here. My brain's needing more air. Yeah. Y'all all wave this way, and fan some air up here so my brain gets kicked in. All right. Revelation 2, chapter 2, I can't even put the verses up there. I put 12 to 17, it's 18. Good Lord have mercy. Not only did I have air here, I must not have had air at the house either. Okay. Y'all stand for the reading of the word. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. "And as an angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be made more than the first." I want y'all, that's some awesome stuff. I know it's not just the same saying that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. This is a little bit different, okay? Just keep that in your back pocket for right now. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her in the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest. Somebody say there's more there. To the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you've already held fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even I received of my Father, and I will give unto him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Stretch forth your hands this way. Ask God for a special touch. And Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you're alive and well and you're on the throne, God. Ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father, in a special way. And Father, help us to see this, the seven churches, in a cognitive new way. And I thank you for it, Lord. Let it not just be in our mind, but let it be in our hearts and our spirits. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Give the Lord another hand and clap of praise. Now, did y'all notice last week we had Beth drumming, and this week we had Christy drumming. Y'all hearing them going at it? They're doing good, aren't they? Make sure you tell them they're doing good, okay? Because although we tell them, it's different when y'all tell them. It's kind of like when somebody else tells your wife how pretty she is, it's different than when you tell her. You may live longer if you tell her. Okay? All right, so here we go. Here we go. The Lord, I'm just going to just hit this one right here, and then we're going right straight into it. The Lord comes to his churches to speak to them about where they are, where he wants them to be, and he comes to them with a message of comfort. Now, Thyatira is kind of weird, you know, because Thyatira is the smallest of the seven churches. They're the smallest. Somebody says, you know, well, we're small, but we're holy. Y'all remember that? The old Pentecost church, they go, well, we're small, praise God, but we're holy. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. Leave it alone. They were the smallest of the seven, but they got the longest letter. Wow. They're the smallest. But God had more to... Y'all, I didn't get breakfast this morning. Did y'all mind? This is good apple. Matter of fact, I picked it out special out of the produce section. I love apples. You know what's worse than a worm in an apple? Is a half a worm. Ah! I'm through with that apple. Anybody want the worm? I already started. Might as well finish it. That's my protein for today. All right. That was a gummy worm. I hope y'all know that. It was not a regular worm. I would not be doing this. yeah. God is searching Thyatira. And he says, you know, you're looking good, but I found some worms in your fruit. Everybody quit laughing? Yeah, where's he going with this? He said, you polished up. You're looking good, but when I took a bite out of you, I got a worm in my mouth. Father, you're looking good. Can we talk a little bit? Because he doesn't just tell you the good stuff and leave the bad alone. He don't just tell you the bad stuff and leave the good alone. He kind of puts it together. That's the way to do it. So let's Let's just go a little further here. Thyatira. Okay. Now this church here, matter of fact, this is a different type of message, okay? Ephesus had grown cold, so it needed to warm up. Smyrna had faced the heat, so it needed to cool down. Pergamos had allowed the heat to get to them and needed to shake it off. And Thyatira needed fruit inspection, and it's not going to be up there, but they needed to shake it up. Not shake it off, shake it up. You see, Thyatira was, although it was the smallest church, it was a very powerful area. Four things were there they were famous for. First, they were a military city. They were a buffer city. And in this buffer city, Caesar's elite guards were stationed there. So it's kind of like having, can you imagine in your city, right here in Edward or wherever you may live, all of a sudden you got the Green Beret and the Navy SEALs are pulled right in here, and they're and on one side of the church and on the other side of the church. Wouldn't that be an awesome, awesome thing? Okay, so that's kind of like what they had, the Navy SEALs, the Green Beret, they were there. And number two, they were an industrial city, and that's where they had dyes there. Lydia was there. She dyed the color purple. Fabric, it was a trade guild city, and it was also an occult city. And it's because it was an occult city, the occult had started sneaking its way in. And so let's just look a little bit at Thyatira. I'm gonna sit down for just a minute. I'm gonna try to sit down. That don't always work. Amen. My mama said, son, I'm gonna have to glue you down in that seat. She tried that one time, and all she had to do then was fix up my pants because I tore the seat out of them. Y'all ready? Jesus presents himself in three ways here. First, he presents himself as the saving one. He said, the Son of God. He is the Savior, and he alone is worthy of our praise. He alone is worthy of our worship. Number two, he's the searching one, because he said his eyes were like a flame of fire. He comes as the one who sees all. Remember last week, yebit. You can yebit all you want to, but God knows. Amen? Well, God, my intentions were, and he goes, no, they weren't. Well, God, I thought about it. No, you didn't. Well, God, I was going to. No, you weren't. But God, if you let me in my mouth, why? I already know what you're thinking. And it's wrong. Okay? Now, again, there's God, or Jesus, and he's searching the church. Well, as he's searching the church, he's also the sovereign one, because his feet were like fine brass. Brass and bronze was always symbolic of royalty and of judgment. Okay? So now, Jesus is not only coming as the one able to see all, but he's able to judge all. He's the only one. Matter of fact, what praise is to God, gossip is to Satan. I want to bring that up because sometimes when we gossip and we're judging people, we don't know. We're just passing on information that we heard could be false, whatever. So instead of giving the person a chance, we just judge them. And so what happens is, just like praise uplifts God and lifts up his body, gossip tears down God, and the devil loves it. So that's just a freebie. You're getting that Mighty Army in a couple of days. So if you get Mighty Army and you see it, say, I heard it there first, here. Okay. But there's one word that would describe Thyatira. All the churches actually had a little bit of this going on. Most of them anyway. There's a couple that didn't. And that word was compromise. And let me ask you a question. What do you consider compromise? You see, sometimes what I may consider compromise, you may not consider compromise. And what you may consider compromise, I may not consider compromise. So it's better to hear it from Jesus than from me. Because Jesus knows. I can tell you what I think, but you can take my opinion and 50 cents and buy a drink someplace. Okay? So now, let's watch this. Here we go. Here's the good that was going on there. He said, I know thy works and thy charity and thy service and thy faith and thy patience and thy work. Wow! He's saying, y'all guys are awesome. Y'all are getting it done. And he says, matter of fact, at the end, you're doing even more than you were at the beginning. I love what I'm seeing here, people. That's what he's saying. This is awesome. So first, it was a loving church. He used the word there for charity, which is charitas, and also agape. Agape love, but in the Greek or Latin Vulgate, it would be charitas, which is, again, where we get the word charity. He says, y'all got a lot of love, a lot of selflessness. There's some good stuff going on here. Good stuff. Amen? Then, not only are you a loving church, you're a laboring church. Because that word, when it says, I know your service, it actually is diaconi, which is where we get the word deacons. So everybody was jumping in. They weren't just waiting for seven people they elected to get it done. They were all getting things done. That any discharge of service, they were doing it. So they were a loving church. They had agape. They were a laboring church. They were like deacons, all of them. It was just amazing what they were doing. And then it was a loyal church because the word faithful or faithfulness, again, is there, which is pistis. Okay? So they were a loyal church. So they were loving. They were helping people, helping each other. They were laboring. They were getting it done. They were a loyal church. They were faithful. Even all the stuff that was going on there. They were a long-suffering church. Because it's hypomoni, which is, again, the word for patience. They were long-suffering. They listened. They took care of people. And if it took a while to get them people up on their feet, they took care of them, whatever it was. And then finally, they were a lifting church or a growing church, because that word work means it's ergo. It's where we get the word energy. Their energy was there. They were toiling. They were just getting with it. They were, man, this was an awesome, awesome thing to see. Can you imagine how any church in this land, if they were showing pure agape love, they were laboring for Christ in their church, and they were loyal, and they were long-suffering, and they were growing. Can you see? Wouldn't it be awesome? See everybody getting in there doing that instead of just a handful. Wouldn't it be awesome? Man, let's just quit and go home while we're ahead. But he goes, yeah, there's a lot of good, but there's also some bad. Now, let's just read this. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, and it's not talking against women preachers. That's not what this is about. And if you think that's what this is about, you're missing the whole concept. Thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, let me just say, Jezebel is more of a spirit, okay? It's kind of like if one of y'all started acting like, you know, y'all did something like Brother Billy used to always do. Say, you know what? When I see you, I see Billy. Okay? When they saw her, they saw Jezebel. Jezebel had 850 prophets of the groves, and all those prophets that she had going on, those up on the mountain, those down below, there was 850 altogether. They did teach lasciviousness. They did teach that anything goes. They did teach that it's okay to mess around on your wife and your husband and all that. That's true, but this goes even deeper. Very deep right now. Can I really get deep? Somebody say lower the plow, not the boom, the plow, Pastor. Lower the plow, not the boom. All right. So Jezebel, she definitely committed sexual immorality and was teaching and seducing people to do the same, just like the other Jezebel did. But if you say, well, I don't have any problem with that, I don't struggle with that, well, guess what? We're going to take it even deeper. Don't think I'm going to let everybody off the hook. We're going deeper. Throw sex out the window. Out the window. Whenever you see, if you watch this connection here, commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols. When you see them connected there, one's describing the other. So, it says they're doing this and you're not doing a thing about it. They had a harmful leadership, a destructive doctrine, and they even became participants. It's more of a spiritual adultery than a physical adultery. More of a spiritual fornication than a physical fornication. In other words, things that they should be given unto God, they're taking for themselves. Things that used to beat their heart for God something else making their heart beat now. Okay? This church represents the dark ages of the church. Let me tell you something about happening in the dark ages. And it may be disturbing, but it's the truth. So if this disturbs anybody, please remember, I'm not making this up. I'm giving you 100% facts. During the Dark Ages, AD 590, the Pope was formally recognized by the Catholic Church as Jesus Christ's co-ruler on the earth. This is what he's talking about. In AD 709, the practice of kissing the Pope's feet was officially accepted when you got to him. Although Peter, who they said was the first pope, he never kissed his feet. Jesus washed them. AD 1074, marriage was forbidden for priests, though the Bible says the church overseer should be a husband and should marry rather than burn. In 1090, rosary beads were invented, reducing prayer to an empty ritual. Do you see it going down? Down. Down. You see the fornication. I'm leaving God's pure salvation experience, and now I'm adapting my own religious experience. In 1190, they began to sell indulgences. Now, indulgences were this. You could pay the priest to pray your loved one out of purgatory after they died. In other words, somebody you had, you know, well, Uncle Fred, if anybody made it to heaven, Uncle Fred did, but I'm not too sure about his son. Goes, woo! He goes, hold on. Priest, how much does it take? Give me a figure, and I'll give it to you, and you pray him out of hell. You see the fornication going further and further and further. And so then, by 1215, the doctrine of transubstantiation came into belief by the Catholic Church, meaning when you take communion, I remember I say this represents his body, it represents his blood. They started saying that it was actually his body and actually his blood. Okay? And it was a blasphemous belief. Okay? So transubstantiation. By 1215, the confessions of sin to a human priest was established. You mess up, go tell him. He can go say three Hail Marys and kick it over to Phil Poe and you can go. Goalpost. By 1229, the Bible was placed. Get ready. Please get ready. By 1229, the Bible was placed on an index of forbidden books. It was declared to be illegal for Catholics to read it. They were told the priest will share all you need to know. Do you hear Jezebel sing? Matter of fact, if you had a Bible, you could be burned at stake. The early Bible translators that took it from the Latin Vulgate or took it from the Greek and the original Greek and Hebrew, these are some of the greatest guys ever lived translating the Bible. And as they were translating the Bible, they will be caught by the Catholic Church and burned at the stake. Jezebel singing loud, isn't she? All right. In 1438, the doctrine of purgatory was made official by the Pope. In the early 1500s, the doctrine of worship of Mary was instituted, and we started worshiping, but we didn't. They started worshiping Mary. It was a revival of the female god worship of Rome. They pronounced Mary was absolutely sinless and crowned her the Queen of Heaven. In 1545, the church tradition was officially placed on an equal plane with the Holy Scriptures, establishing known as the Catholic dogma. They said, thus saith the Pope more than thus saith the Lord. Wow. God looked down and said, y'all got it wrong. You let that Jezebel spirit come, and that Jezebel spirit got you putting other things above God. Now let's bring it
to our day. We might not be kissing his ring or kissing his feet, the Pope's feet. And we may not be telling people they can't read the Bible and all this stuff. But is there something in your life that you put above God? If there's something in your life that you put above God, I mean, be perfect. None of us are perfect. I watched the show on Billy Graham last night, and he kept saying all the time, he was on talk shows, he said, I never turned down anything. He was Jack Parr and Johnny Carson, and when he was in Johnny Carson, Johnny said something about sinners, and he turned around and looked at Ed McMahon and said, I'm pretty sure he's a sinner. And Ed McMahon went, whoa! And he said, it's okay. He said, because that's why we're all sinners. We need God's grace. He said, we cannot do this on our own. We got to have his help. So when you put it above God, does not mean that you're perfect, not by a long shot. And one thing that brought me to tears last night was he was in Vietnam, and he was walking through the street, not through the streets, but in one of those little mass unit hospitals in Vietnam. One of the guys was on a stretcher kind of deal, and he was facing down, and he was hooked so he couldn't move. And Billy Graham was talking to all the guys. When he got to him, the guy couldn't pick his head up and look at Billy Graham. So Billy Graham laid on the floor and slid up under his face and talked with him and comforted him and prayed with him. And they said while he was praying with the young man's tears were falling on Billy Graham's face. They said it was a very powerful man, but he was so humble. Wow. Very, very powerful. But even him last night said, look, without God, we're lost. Without hope, because we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. So I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about what may stop you from giving God all you got? That's the question. That's it. What may stop you from giving all God all you got? So I'm getting ready to move on. Somebody say, move on, Pastor. That's right. Somebody say, praise God. All right. Now, that worm was really good. Okay. Showed you the good. I showed you the bad. And let me show you the ugly. He said, watch this. I gave her space to repent for her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, sickness, and them that commit adultery with her in the great tribulation, distress, to the rest of the people following her, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children. That's the ones that are born of her doctrine. I will kill her children. It's not about physical children. It's not those that have bought into this doctrine. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, in this right here, let me just show you this, because I'm trying to keep it. I don't want to go on some theology. Theology gets boring. I don't know, the preacher just said that. Yeah, theology can be very boring. So I'm trying not to use theology. I'm trying to use, let's talk about God. All right? Watch this. The opportunity of grace. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound or super abound. In other words, although she's leading all these people astray, and all this stuff is going on that's really, really bad, and God is put on a shelf, and man's doctrines are pulled out. We're following man's doctrines versus God's doctrine. I'm telling you, it's going to cause some problems, but I'm going to show you the opportunity of grace. I gave her a space to repent. When Noah was on the boat, they climbed on the boat, all the animals were on the boat, but God left them there in the dry for 7 days to give the guys opportunity to climb on the boat. The opportunity of grace. And nobody took it. And then God shut the door. And literally all hell broke loose. Water came from the ground, the sky, out of rocks, everywhere. The same way, God's given this nation time to repent, but the door's getting ready to shut. And when it shuts, all hell is going to break loose because Satan's going to be turned loose. So now, opportunity of grace. Watch this. The opportunity was not taken. Let me show you something more. I'm going to show you one thing that grace can't cover. There's only one thing grace can't cover. One. Y'all ready? One. Ready? Grace can cover everything or anything but our refusal to accept. Wow. You don't know how bad I've been. Look, did you do as bad as she did? I gave her space. You know, they cover anything but our refusal to accept it. You say, well, what's blaspheming the Holy Ghost? There's no, well, that's part of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. He said, watch. He said, you can blaspheme me, you can blaspheme the Son, but you better not blaspheme the Holy Ghost, because you will not make it here and you won't make it there. Reason being is, you're going to be cast out, because that's when you refuse God, God's grace, the Holy Spirit, pricking at your heart. When you refuse that, when you get to heaven, God's going to say, get away from me. I never what? Never knew you. So there you go. So the message to that crowd. Y'all ready for some good stuff now? Somebody go, I'm scared to say anything. I'm just going to sit here. Yeah. Y'all ready? Isn't God good? The best. Ready? The message to the church. The ones that hadn't got caught up in this mess. But I say unto you, and unto the rest of Thyatira, and as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. That's powerful. I'm going to talk about it. I'll put upon you no other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. So now, we talked about the opportunity of grace and neglection of it. But now we're going to talk about the restraining power of grace. He says, yes, things are kind of rough around there. You're doing all this work. You're doing great things. And then we got the Jezebel spirit trying to get in and trying to permeate and take God off of the, you know, it's like this. Here's the throne. Who sits on it? Does God sit on it? Or do you sit on it? If you sit on it, we got a problem. When God sits on it, it's good. Does your problems sit on it? Or do you let God handle it and put God back on the throne? So you can take comfort in this. Satan may have his finger on the trigger, but God has his hand on the throttle. He can try, he can do anything he would like to try, but he has to go through God to get to you. You know, it's like I used to tell my boys, and I tell my wife, and I tell other people too, if they're going to get you, they got to come through me first. God's saying the same thing. Before he can touch you, he's got to go through me and get it cleared. So they're saying is, I know it's been tough on you, but don't worry, I'm not going to put more burden on you, because y'all are doing good. I'm actually going to help you through this in a very powerful way. And so then, watch this. And then the best, when you get, here we go, we're going to get to the one more verse, and then we're getting ready to close her down, I think. Amen. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of and the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, we talked about the opportunity of grace. We talked about the restraining power of grace. And then there's the promotion of grace. He said, you stay true, and God's grace will lift you to new heights. He talks about you're going to be, look, you know, when the Lord comes back and after the millennial reign in heaven, we're not going to be up on clouds playing harps. We're going to be working. On the new heaven and new earth, we're still going to be working. The difference is, those born in the millennial, they're still going to be working. You know, and those that have made it through tribulation, many of those will still be just be worker bees. But those that he took with him in the rapture, they're going to be ones ruling and reigning with him. They're going to be the ones that are ruling. And now you don't have sin in the way. You don't have Satan in the way. It's all gone. And now you're going to be one of them that's ruling just like him. But I like when he said, I'm going to give him the morning star. Anybody ever seen the morning star? You know what the morning star is actually? The morning star is, give me the planet. Anybody know what the planet is? The morning star is Venus. Not the flytrap. Venus. It comes up early in the morning, and it's awesome to see the morning star. And what he was saying is, I love this. The morning star is actually talking about the end of the night and the dawning of a new day. The Christians in Thyatira had gone through some dark times, the dark ages. I mean, there was, oh wow. Not only was there a reformation during some of this stuff that broke through at the other end, there was the counter-reformation where the guys were killing people. There was just all kinds of stuff going on. They were hunting people down. It was bad. But he says, a new day is going to come, and know that what you're going through now is only temporary. But you're getting ready to have a very powerful breakthrough if you just won't give up. Let me ask you a question. Is anybody in here, and don't point at anybody, you can raise your own hand, but don't point at anybody. Is anybody in here perfect? While this is going on right now, I want everybody to look around. Guess what? There's no hands being raised. My hands aren't raised. There's nobody perfect. How many here need help every day from God? Put your hands up. Now look around. Wow. Aren't you glad we had the opportunity of grace? Aren't you glad? And look, how many sometimes you wonder, can it get any worse? Thursday, the weatherman told us it might be the worst storm we had in 2 years and blah, 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 blah. And the weathermen, there was a bunch of stuff. The Weather Channel was getting on to it. You know, matter of fact, they were expecting it so bad, Jim Cantore wouldn't know if he could stay in my house while he was waiting. Yeah. And I know a lot of y'all did, but I know my wife and I prayed. And I know that many others prayed. I remember talking to people and I said, let's just pray and trust God in this. Because if it does come, it's going to come, and we're going to have to trust God no matter what. But I really believe he can stop it. And they were expecting all this stuff. And first it says to me 2 o'clock, then 3 o'clock, then 5 o'clock. And then, you know, blah, blah, blah. The skies did look funny. There was some rain and there was some wind, but nothing like they were talking about. Okay? Because the restraining power of grace held that storm off the roof. If you could only know the times, just keep on working. Keep on doing your thing. Keep on letting God use you, because you think, every time I work, it seems like every time I get going for God and really get in there, all hell breaks loose. Well, let me just change that. It's not all hell. It's only a couple of compartments. Because the restraining power of grace is holding it back. And know that you just keep on going, because the promotion of grace is on the way. Take opportunity of it. Know there's a restraining power of grace, and know that grace is going to be promoting you. DC, come on up here and get ready to play something. One more thing, and I'm going to let it rip. I took my picture last night. Man, my eyes are shining, isn't it? That was only one of my great ideas. The rest of them are gone. See? Lessons from Thyatira. Don't be afraid to stand out. We ain't got to follow the crowd. You know, in this last day, I'm going to tell you, get ready for it. You're getting ready. You think the flood was a big deluge. We're getting ready to see the greatest deluge of the Word of God that's ever been. Because the only way that everybody can get along with all the stuff that's going on and all the stuff they're promoting. The only way it can get through is it's going to have to be diluted so much that you wouldn't even know what it was. I listened last night as Billy Graham stood by Martin Luther King Jr. They stood together. And Billy Graham, he had a crusade, and they had ropes up and said, blacks on this side of the rope, whites on this side of the rope. And Billy Graham went to the usher and said, take those ropes down. And the usher said, I ain't going to do it. So Billy Graham, as he started the crusade, he walked down there, and he took them down himself. And said, there will never be that in any of my meetings. And he talked about how we don't have time for race wars, that the grace of God can handle all of this if we just trust Him. And it showed in that one arena, the blacks and whites were standing side by side at the altar, all of them with tears flowing, holding hands together. And he said, the answer right now is Jesus. Jesus is being pushed to the side right now because there's a Thyatira Jezebel spirit. Don't be afraid to stand out. Don't be afraid. Whatever. Do not be afraid to stand out now. You see, you keep up the good work. Here's the lesson from Thyatira. You keep up the good work. You keep God first. Watch God work. And watch God put you first. Wow. Powerful stuff. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our life, whether you're a Christian or not, our life, whether you even claim to be a Christian, our life is a spiritual experience. We're not mortals trying to have a spiritual experience. We're spiritual folks trying to live a mortal experience, because when our bodies are gone, we're still alive. When you take that last breath, it's just the last breath of earth's air. It's not the last breath of air. It's the first breath of heaven's air. Today, right now, is the time to be ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm asking some questions. We'll pray at the end of these questions, but I just want to do one prayer for all of this, but we're going to ask some things. Number one, with nobody looking around, please, and you're not being seen on Facebook, you're behind the camera so nobody can see you. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I'm even right with God. I need to know that me and Him are okay. Can we pray? Nobody looking around, would you stick that hand up and say, I'm not even sure. Bless them, Lord, bless them. Maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what? I kind of feel that Jezebel spirit trying to take God off center stage in my heart, to take God off the throne, put something else up, something that I can feel good about, but I don't have to answer to God about. if I'm talking to you right now, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to help, not here to hurt. If you find yourself putting God in second, third, and fourth, and fifth place until you need him, then you pull him back up, and as soon as the crisis is over, he's put back on the shelf collecting dust. If you're here today, nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you say, Pastor, I really need some help in this area. I need to put God back first. I need to put him in first place. Then he can help me clean up this mess that I made. Don't think you got to clean up your mess before you go to him. Go to him now. He'll help you clean up the mess. And he's like bounty. He's the quicker picker up, or he can take it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would say that, I've allowed God to step out of first place in my life, and I need some help with that. Would you just put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. And right now, if you say, God, I really, really am ready to give it all I got to you, Lord. Just give it to you and do with what you want to with me, God. I'm yours. Just take me, Lord, and use me so that my end is going to be even greater than my beginning. Just like this church, their beginning was good, but their end was greater because they never stopped working. They kept it up and they kept it up. If that's you, I want my end to be better than my beginning. Would you put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Let's pray together. Ready? Father, I love you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you show us how to live better and closer to you. I ask you, God, right now to help me to put you back on the throne, to keep you first. And Lord, I thank you for that. I ask you also, Lord, to let my last part be greater than the first part. There is no winding down. There is no gracefully growing old in your kingdom, God. Let my last be better than my first. In the name of Jesus, I give it to you. The church said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now Tuesday nights, we just got through with how to stand in the last days. Now, I don't know how long it's going to last, but we're going to be talking about the development of the Bible. Where'd it come from? I can promise you this. Men didn't sit on the side of the road and God dictate to them. That's not how it happened. Okay? They were moving.